championship shit. How are you? How you doing? How's your mother? Welcome to the Champ Smokes Face Blunts, episode 24. Should have done episode 24/7 and had someone try to come pin me in the middle of the episode for my belt, but we all know that's not gonna happen. How are you? Had a nice fucking week of wrestling, had Raw, had SmackDown, a lot of fucking network news this week that we're gonna get into after we're on SmackDown. But yeah, let's get right into Raw. There was, if I had to, a good way of saying it this week is that I think Raw was like a face show and SmackDown was kind of like a heel show. And the reason I say that is because I think Raw gave the people everything that they wanted and SmackDown kind of made people angry in a couple parts, but not because it was a bad show, just because of their decisions on some shit. But yeah, for the most part, I fucking loved Raw. There was a couple things this week I didn't like, but I don't want to sound like a whiny bitch like a lot of you. I watched Raw and I fucking loved it. The whole time I was sitting there in front of my screen like, this is awesome. WWE is so fucking good right now compared to a couple months ago. The way everything is just clicking right now and how it has me actually interested in Raw and interested in SmackDown and watching the whole show and then keeps me interested to wonder what's going to happen the next week is just fucking phenomenal. So, I don't want to sound like a whiny bitch because I fucking loved it. And then I go online and I start reading what people are saying online and watching videos and stuff. And everybody's whining about shit. I'm like, why are you fucking whining? It's so good right now. But if I was going to complain about something, and I am, it would be the fucking how they've chosen to start the King of the Ring tournament. And that's because they announced they're going to have this tournament, they released the bracket, and then they say it's going to start tonight on Monday, but then instead of just getting right into the matches for the tournament, they have this whole fucking two-on-two, just a fucking tag match with people that are in the tournament, but then they had an actual tournament match later in the night. I don't know if I'm just a stupid stoner, but this kind of confused me because I was like, all right, is the tournament starting or is it not starting? Why aren't these guys in the tournament? Why is the tournament starting tonight, but these guys who are in the tournament aren't going to wrestle in the tournament tonight? I thought it was kind of confusing. I didn't want to fucking see it. I would have rather just go right into the tournament. The tournament matches that we did get on the Raw side, I actually copied the Street Profits and printed up my own fucking bracket. You had Samoa Joe beating Cesaro, Cedric Alexander beating Sami Zayn on Raw. Samoa Joe will face Ricochet, will face the winner of Ricochet and Drew McIntyre. Cedric will face the winner of Miz and Baron Corbin. Spoiler alert, I already know who's going to win the tournament because I fucking know everything. A couple weeks ago, or it might have been last week. Yeah, it was definitely last week. I misspoke. It happens. I said I picked Kevin Owens. That's wrong. It has now come out who is actually going to win the tournament. The champ knows. If you don't want to know, close your ears in 3, 2, 1. Go fuck yourselves. The winner of the King of the Ring tournament is going to be none other than the Scottish psychopath, Drew McIntyre. They want him to win the whole thing. I think it's a good call. It's going to make this guy seem like a believable badass now. He's been kind of just thrown around, used in different scenarios the past couple months. I really like the idea of putting an actual crown and a cane on this guy and having him start to fucking wreak havoc. I just would have gone right into the tournament and not done that silly little tag match. Some more shit that confused me this week. Well, it didn't really confuse me. Might have confused the general public, but didn't really confuse me. That is that WWE was teasing they got this big announcement on Monday. They're like, we got an announcement. We got an announcement on Monday. We have an announcement on Monday. And then there was no announcement. The reason why there was no announcement, I believe, is because Chris Jericho spoiled it on Bubba Ray's Busted Open podcast, told everyone the announcement was gonna be. It's full war. The Wednesday Night Wars are in effect. The announcement was that NXT is gonna be moving to USA Network on Wednesday nights, the same exact time as AEW show, and it is extending to 2 hours, the same exact length as AEW. The Wednesday Night Wars are in full effect. Vince could not help himself. They're going live, I believe it's coming up right in fucking September. That's gonna be that. These two shows are gonna be fucking competing against each other. You definitely have the same type of hip wrestling nerd fan base that wants to watch AEW, that watches NXT. It's gonna be interesting to see where they choose. But we're gonna get into this a little bit more in the news later. But as far as Raw is concerned, they did not make this announcement. They mentioned it a little bit on Tuesday, but there was never really a full announcement. They started having all the superstars tweet about it, and that was that. The only other thing that I didn't like on Raw this week, everything else was phenomenal. This is the end of my bitching. The only other thing that I did not like on Raw this week was the finish in the whole storyline throughout the show of Braun and Seth. Now they have Braun and Seth being tag team partners, but Seth has the big belt. So basically last week, Braun saved Seth. Now this week, Seth saved Braun, and then they were like, yo, we're friends now, why don't we just win the tag belts? All right, bro, let's do it. And they just won the tag belts on that show, but Braun is still looking at Seth's belt like he wants it. He wants the big belt. I don't know how long they're gonna have these tag belts. You already know that I hate random tag teams to begin with, and that's exactly what this is. If these two guys are gonna feud, there needs to be a face and there needs to be a heel. Somebody needs to turn. I would like to see it be Braun, just see him absolutely beat the shit out of Seth Rollins, fuck Becky Lynch in front of him, just go all out, and then have him be the biggest bad guy. He could be the fucking champion of champions, just an absolute fucking beast. Give him a tag team partner that isn't a fucking 8-year-old cancer patient, and let's fucking do this damn thing. So it could go somewhere good, but as of right now, I did not like what they chose to do with that shit on Monday. Everything else was fucking phenomenal. We had what I believe is the best Fiend moment so far, and dare I say this, Bray Wyatt's new character may be the best new thing that WWE has seen in the last 20 years. I know it's harsh, but think in the last 20 years, what new thing? Undertaker, Stone Cold, that's all from fucking 20 years ago. What in the last 20 years new gimmick have you seen with this much fucking push, this much potential? And it's not even potential, it's already fucking happening right now. The potential is up to the fucking moon, and right now it's already blowing the roof off everywhere. Everybody, I know so many fucking wrestling marks on Facebook and Twitter whose profile pictures are the Fiend right now. When Halloween comes, what do you think all these fucking nerds are gonna dress up as? The Fiend. The Fiend is fucking hot. This week, the way they chose to do it, I fucking loved. I think it gave it even more credibility. He keeps attacking these legends. This week, they set it up like there was gonna be King's Corner with Jerry the King Lawler, who's gonna have Sasha Banks on his show to talk about everything. He gets out there, starts talking like he's gonna bring out Sasha Banks, and then boom, the first set of lights go off. I didn't see this shit coming at all. I popped like a fucking little kid. I was like, oh my God, it's gonna be the Fiend. Second set goes off. Jerry Lawler's like, oh my God, I've seen this before. I'm getting out of here. He starts walking up the ramp. The lights start going out. He's looking all around, and right behind him, the Fiend gives him the fucking mandible claw on the ramp. It was perfect. It was fucking amazing. Bray Wyatt himself came out and said it was perfect. If you're gonna do the Fiend, this is the way to do it. Have him disappear for a week. No one knows when he's gonna strike, and then boom. When you least expect it, he fucking comes out and gets a legend. There's been some speculation. I can't take credit for this idea. I heard it on the Store Horseman pod. Shout out to the Store Horseman. But you would have to think the end result of Bray Wyatt attacking all of these legends would be The Undertaker, the greatest other mystical kind of magical gimmick who could control the lights in the arena and all that shit. The greatest one of that in the past. You would have to think that's the end for Bray Wyatt's attack. Well, not really the end, but the kind of the where you're trying to build this to with him attacking legends. Because why has he been attacking all these legends? He's not Randy Orton. Randy Orton was the fucking legend killer with the legend killer gimmick attacking everyone. Bray Wyatt's kind of been doing that, but not saying it. Randy Orton's on fire also. We're going to get into that in a few, but this whole fucking legend killer thing, I was thinking recently that the best way to ever end the fucking Randy Orton legend killer thing would be to have Velveteen Dream come up and fucking crush him. That would be absolutely amazing. But yeah, that's the fucking Fiend shit this week. It was phenomenal. There's all this fucking talk online about, oh, they're going to try to do this to the Fiend, they're trying to do that to the Fiend. I haven't seen any changes. They took off the YouTube video of the Lantern, like I said last week. That was probably for YouTube monetization. And I don't think they're going to change the Fiend at all. It's fucking money. But so that's all the things the first two things I didn't like. Third thing I did like, the Fiend. Other things I liked this week, the angle with Rey Mysterio and his son. This had me fucking emotional, man. I had the chills for this one. Rey Mysterio came out there, said Andrade's been embarrassing him. He thinks it's time to hang it up. He was getting ready to fucking take his mask off. And then all of a sudden, his son comes out. He's like, yo, I want to be your tag team partner, Dad. And tell my kids I was tag team partners with the great Rey Mysterio. This is real interesting, man. It's a real emotional angle. Rey Mysterio is a veteran, been around a long time. I have a lot of memories of watching him. I'm interested to see how much of an actual wrestler his son is. I've never seen this kid wrestle. He's obviously bigger than Rey Mysterio. That's not saying much. He looks like a little bit chunky. I'm not sure how this kid can actually move if he's durable. You know what I mean? But we'll fucking see how Dominic does in the ring. Other things from Raw. Apparently everyone's really happy with this Randy Orton revival angle. They're calling themselves FTRKO. I think this week was one of the best RKOs in the history of RKOs. It was the Revival versus the New Day. The match was going on. I wasn't really too interested in this match, to be completely honest with you. It was just kind of going on. Then all of a sudden, Big E hits the ropes, going across. Then absolutely out of nowhere, fucking RKO, middle of the ring. They just proceed to beat down the fucking New Day, make Kofi watch as they fuck up Xavier Woods' leg and stomp on it with the chair. It was great stuff. Apparently, everybody backstage is really happy with it. It seems like Randy Orton is, like, revitalized and really fucking loving this shit. It's real good shit, him and their Revival. They're just like an old-school tag team. They kind of look like the white Singh brothers to Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton being the Jinder Mahal in this situation. But they're more ripped and better wrestlers than the Sick Brothers. But that shit's awesome. And I think the final thing on fucking Raw this week, Sasha Banks with the absolute line of the year, beating the shit out of Natalya and making a joke about her dead father, saying, go to hell and tell your dad I said hi. Absolutely amazing. This side of Sasha Banks should have came out a long time ago. I'm fucking loving it. WWE's amazing. That was Raw. We're going to check out some things from around the network, and then we will get into SmackDown. Welcome back, you fucking nerds. All right, time to get into SmackDown. Now, I said earlier, I feel like Raw was like a face show this week. It gave you everything you wanted, and SmackDown was kind of a heel show. And I say that mainly because of the ending, which I'll just get into first. And that was all week. Since last SmackDown, they've been teasing that this week, Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are going to reveal the actual attacker of Roman Reigns. Now this, I've been a huge fan of this because it keeps you tuned in from week to week, keeps you wondering what's going to happen. This week the show started out and they have some guy in a fucking ISIS hood. They didn't have handcuffs on him or anything like that, just like a fucking ISIS hood. And for some reason, he was just standing and sitting completely still, not trying to run away at all. But Daniel Bryan and Rowan had this guy in an interrogation room in the back with the thing over his head, looked like he was about to get fucking waterboarded. In the whole show, they're like, at the end of SmackDown, we're gonna tell you who the actual attacker was. Now, I kinda thought it was actually gonna be some other wrestler. Maybe someone we hadn't seen in a while. Maybe someone who's gonna join their faction and then the three of them beat the shit out of Roman Reigns at the end of the show, something like that. But it wasn't any of that. It was kind of a hilarious Scooby-Doo type ending where the show ends, they get in the room, and Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are there. Roman Reigns is there. They have the hood over the guy. And they're like, ready, Roman? This is who attacked you. And they pull the hood off. And it's an identical look-alike to Eric Rowan. Just the big fucking red beard. Some guy no one's seen before. Looked like Rowan's twin brother. And I would guess this made a lot of people angry when it has you building up to some big climactic finish. And at the end of it, it's just a fucking kind of a joke and just confusion. The four of them were just sitting there in the room looking at each other like Rowan, Rowan's double, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns are just kind of staring at each other. But this is kind of the same thing as a no finish in a match. Like what happened with the fucking Kofi and Randy Orton match at SummerSlam where there was a no finish. Everyone's angry so it can keep it going. It also kind of adds some heat. Which is exactly what this did to Daniel Bryan, because now everyone hates him even more. The only thing is, I think this might make some people angry towards SmackDown, because SmackDown didn't give them what they wanted, but Raw gave you everything you wanted. I think this works toward the storyline, and I'm not hating on it. A lot of people are being whiny bitches about this, but I enjoyed it. I liked the fucking ending to SmackDown. I think it works. It works for Daniel. It does kind of make Daniel Bryan look like a little bit of like a fucking silly goof and not like a serious guy. I think it would have been better if they just beat the fuck out of Roman Reigns. But they're clearly going to protect Roman Reigns because he's the big dog. And they're not going to do anything to make him look dumb. So that was the fucking end to SmackDown. And yeah, fucking next up thing on SmackDown. I hope everybody thinks this was as hilarious as I did, but you had Miz's show, and he brings out Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn comes out and starts saying, I think Sami Zayn's had something like 28 losses in a row since re-debuting. It's rough out there for my fellow Syrian Sami Zayn. He comes out and starts saying that he realizes that his problem is that he hasn't been helping people, and now what he's gonna do is start helping people. This was hilarious to me also because, side note, Sami Zayn actually does help people. He has an organization in Syria where he, like, I think he raises money to get trucks and then he converts these trucks into medical centers and goes around Syria helping people that are getting fucking bombed and beheaded and all that shit. So Sami Zayn actually does help people is the ironic part to this. So I guess now it seems like he's kind of like a manager. He says the first person he's going to help is going to be Shinsuke Nakamura. And he says the reason why he's going to help Shinsuke Nakamura is because Shinsuke Nakamura can't speak English. And he's an artist and he needs to use the English language to express himself, but he can't speak it. So as an artist who's supposed to express himself, he can't express himself because he can't speak English. So thankfully, he has Sami Zayn here to translate. I don't know, apparently Sami Zayn speaks Japanese and he's gonna fucking translate for Shinsuke Nakamura so he can have an easier time here. This was fucking hilarious. What ends up happening is they beat the fuck out of Miz. He gets a knee to face, and it was amazing. I hope that they stick to, I don't know if Sami Zayn's gonna come out with a different person every week, or if he's just gonna be Shinsuke Nakamura's manager, or what's gonna happen here. I fucking forgot Shinsuke had a belt. I kind of missed the old Shinsuke. Remember when Shinsuke would come out, and it would be, oh, missed that shit. They put the fucking stupid Japanese words over the fucking music, and now nobody does that, and he's a bad guy. He can be a bad guy, but we can still all yell, oh, whenever he comes out. That's the whole fucking fun part. They took away all the fun. I fucking hate it. But I do love Sami Zayn and Shinsuke. That's a fucking, I fucking love it. That needs to continue. The final thing on SmackDown worth mentioning, which I think is the most noteworthy thing of the whole show, bigger than the finish, bigger than anything else that happened on the fucking show, is the fact that they gave Buddy Murphy a clean win over Daniel Bryan. No fuckery, no like sneak anything. And he had fucking Rowan on the side, and they still gave this kangaroo fucker a clean win. He got to go up against the big dog last week, have probably the best match in Roman Reigns' career. And then this week, they give him a clean win over Daniel Bryan. They fucking love this guy. How mad is Alexa Bliss that she dumped this guy when he was on 205 Live, and now he's just out there tearing it up on the main roster against the top talent. Somebody loves Buddy Murphy, and you know what? I don't fucking hate it. I think this is exactly what they need. They need to start making guys that you didn't expect to be made. This is exactly what the King of the Ring tournament is for, even though I don't know who didn't expect Drew McIntyre to be made, man. It was just a matter of time since when he fucking came back. But yeah, SmackDown was on fucking fire this week. The ending a lot of people didn't like, but I fucking loved it. And Buddy Murphy, man, he's looking like a fucking main eventer all of a sudden. So that's that. That's fucking SmackDown. It's hot as balls in here. I'm sweating my nuts off. And we're about to check out some things from around the network. And then we're going to get into the news. Welcome back, you fucking nerds. Time to get into the news. First thing, Ronda Rousey's finger got fucked up. Look away if you don't want to see this shit. Her finger is fucked. Apparently she was filming a show on Fox and the shit got jammed under a boat. So a fucking boat fell on Ronda Rousey's finger. You can see in the picture, pretty much ripped off, and they had to reconnect it with screws and pieces of metal and all that type of shit. I would imagine that she's gonna sue the fuck out of Fox and get money, being that she like kind of works with her hands and that's her livelihood. Hopefully this doesn't muddy the water with the fucking Fox deal between the WWE and Ronda Rousey if one of their talent is suing them because her finger got fucked up on a show. But yeah, that's that. Next up, WWE is to launch their official podcast network. Obviously, they can't compete with Talking Seaweed and The Champ, but they're going to try. They already have the Bellas, Ryder and Hawkins, Pritchard and Bischoff. So they're going to try to get their little thing going, give more wrestlers podcasts. For me, it's going to be interesting to see what they actually allow wrestlers to say on their podcast and how much they allow them to break the fourth wall. Because I feel like part of the best part about podcasts is when you feel like you're eavesdropping on a conversation and hear shit that you feel like you shouldn't be hearing and that people might get mad if you know. And if WWE is controlling the media that's coming out about them, I wouldn't think you're going to get to hear the fucking best shit. You know what I mean? So that's that. What else we got? R-Truth and Carmella are to release a rap song in September. That's interesting. And I promised a bunch of programming news or network news. Well, first up, WrestleMania 37. There's four final places in the bidding, or I don't know if it's bidding or how it works, but there's four places that they're looking at. Two of them are Los Angeles and Las Vegas for WrestleMania 37. So that would definitely be a dope place to go see a WrestleMania. And SummerSlam coming to Boston next year. So we'll have fucking SummerSlam. We'll have TakeOver. I'm going to all that shit. That'll be fucking amazing. And yeah, the fucking programming news, the fucking networking news. We'll start it out with the whiny bitch wrestler, CM Punk. Word is that he had his agent reach out to FS1 about having him co-host a talk show. So I would assume that means that maybe he's not going to AEW like everyone suspects if he's still out here looking for a fucking job. And Vinnie Mac, Vince McMahon, things have been said from his inner circle of XFL, from reliable sources, that he plans to step away from WWE for some time when XFL comes out and focus on the XFL. They also plan to kind of separate the XFL from the WWE. I'll believe it when I see it. It's kind of hard to believe Vince is going to be able to help himself and not be involved with the fucking show, especially NXT, now that it's going to be on USA. How's he going to not be involved with that? And then also there's going to be even more shit, because apparently everybody thought NXT would be going to FS1, because FS1 is where they signed a deal with, it's Fox, but it's going to USA now. FS1 is still going to get additional programming. It's not clear what that's going to be, but there will be some other fucking WWE show on FS1 coming up. And yeah, I think that's it for all the fucking network. Should FS1 get on the additional program? Vince says he's going to step away. I'll believe it when I fucking see it. CM Punk looking for a job. John Moxley apparently has some sort of Japanese infection in his elbow. I don't know exactly what it is. Sounds nasty if it's fucking Japanese. I don't know if it's from eating fucking raw fish or some shit like that. But John Moxley has something in his elbow. He just had a match against Pentagon Jr. where he actually unmasked Pentagon, who's one of my favorite wrestlers. I was mad at this when I saw it. I was like, dude, you gotta like protect your character a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think it's good, because people are gonna see this video. They're gonna be like, who is this luchador that Dean Ambrose unmasked all the WWE fans, you know? And they're all gonna look up Pentagon, see that he's a fucking beast, look at all his other matches. So probably a good move for Pentagon at the end of the day. If you're gonna take that bump of losing the mask, that's probably a good place to do it against Dean Ambrose. That's as good a match as any as you're gonna get coming from fucking Lucha Underground, you know? And yeah, also, final thing on the fucking news. Apparently, the tickets for the AEW debut on TNT are fucking tanking. When they came out, everybody bought them. All the scalpers were like, oh yeah, I'm gonna buy these and sell them, I'm gonna buy them and sell them. And now nobody wants them, and you can get them for as low as $8 on StubHub. Nobody cares about AEW. They're already losing the Wednesday Night Wars. Fucking NXT already has an audience. They already have people watching them that are going to watch them, and now they're going to regular TV. You don't even need to pay $10 a month to fucking watch them. You can just watch it on USA Network. They're used to the fucking schedule. They're used to pay-per-views. They're used to cameras. They're used to the spotlight. They're used to everything. And now they're going to crush AEW on live TV every Wednesday. I can't wait till fucking September or October, whenever this shit starts. It's gonna be amazing. That's that. That was episode 24 of Dabbin' Aladdin. The fucking champ smokes face blunts. I'm the 24/7 champion. Nobody's ever taken this shit from me. That is that. We are fucking out of here.